We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
Take God's Word and turn, please, to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Let us read together what God says. He's speaking here of the fruit of the Spirit. And He says, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. And we brought a message on that. Then He says the fruit of the Spirit is joy, and we brought a message on that. Then He says the fruit of the Spirit is peace, and we thought together about that. And then the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering or patience, and we dealt with that. And now we come to what the Bible says in the King James Version. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Gentleness. In some translations, it is given kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Try a little kindness. President George Bush was inaugurated as the President of the United States, and everybody was waiting to hear what kind of a challenge he would give to us as a nation. And do you know what his challenge was? To be a kinder and gentler nation. And I thought, what a challenge for the President of the United States to say to the greatest nation on earth, the need is kindness. The need is gentleness. But my dear friend, that's not just the need of America. That's the need of your home and of your life. Oh, how we need kindness. I agree with a little girl who prayed, oh God, make all the bad people good and make all the good people nice. Now, we have a lot of people who are good, but they just need to learn how to be kind. What is kindness? Let's talk about kindness. What is the word kindness here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, also called gentleness? Well, it comes from a root word, which means to be useful, to be good, to be helpful, or to be suitable. That's what it literally means. It is translated sometimes goodness, sometimes tenderness, sometimes friendliness, sometimes generosity. But actually, I think all of us know what kindness is when we see it. Let me tell you really what kindness is. Kindness is love in shoe leather. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, love is kind. And so all kindness is just simply love in practical and personal ways. That's what kindness is. That is the what of kindness. Now, let me tell you why we ought to be kind. And I want to mention three reasons why we ought to be kind. First of all, because God has saved us through His kindness. God has been so kind to us. Think of these scriptures. Titus 3, verses 4 and 5. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Do you know what the Bible calls the coming of Jesus Christ into the world? God's kindness toward us. I have been saved by the kindness of God, and therefore the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, to those of us who have been saved, therefore be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. We have received kindness, therefore we must show kindness. That's one reason we ought to be kind. But I would tell you again, another reason is the world is not going to see the Lord Jesus Christ in us until they see our kindness. The world is not primarily interested in our theology. They want to know, has it changed your life? Someone has well written, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You see, God is love, and love is kind. And as the Lord Jesus Christ inhabits my humanity, He's going to display His deity to the degree that I am a kind and a gentle person. There's a third reason we ought to be kind. It's simply this, friend. If you want kindness, you need to give it. Whatever you want, learn to give, because the Bible says we're going to reap what we sow. I've talked to you about the why of kindness. Let me say that when I talk to you about being kind, there's some of us who are afraid if we're too kind, people are going to take advantage of us. Have you ever felt that way? That people are just going to move in and we kind of have to keep up a little shell, a little crust? I read something that deeply touched my heart about a PGA golfer. He was from Argentina. and his name is Robert D. Vincenzo. Now, Mr. D. Vincenzo won a tournament, one of the few that he won, a PGA tournament, and the 18th hole, they gave to Mr. D. Vincenzo his check, and he was happy to receive it, and he was going out behind the clubhouse, putting his clubs in his automobile, when a woman met him. And this woman was sad and forlorn, and she said to him, "It's a big day for you, but it's a sad day for me." He said, "Well, what is it, madam?" She said, "I have a baby who is dying. My baby has been diagnosed with an incurable disease in the blood. His heart was touched." He said, "Madam," in broken English, "may I do something for you and your child?" And he took his check and endorsed it on the back and gave it to her right there. He said, "Take this and try to buy some happiness for yourself and for the child." And then he put his clubs in his car, and friends just stood around amazed. The woman looked so shocked, and he drove off. A week later, he was in the clubhouse having lunch, and one of the PGA officials came up to him and said, "You know that woman to whom you gave that check? She doesn't have a sick baby. As a matter of fact, she doesn't have a child at all. She is a phony, a con artist." And this golfer said, "Do you mean to tell me that there is no baby dying of an incurable disease?" He said, "That's right." He said, "That's wonderful." He said, "That's the best news I've heard. There is no baby that is dying." What an attitude. You know, so many of us are so cynical, we're afraid that we're going to do something and have somebody take advantage of us. Aren't you glad that God keeps the score? Aren't you glad that God knows? It doesn't matter if somebody takes advantage of us. If we're acting like the Lord Jesus, people took advantage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed they did, but He was kind and is kind. Now, let me talk to you about when we ought to be kind. This is so important. You know, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, "As we therefore have opportunity, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men." You see, opportunities come to be kind, and so many times we let them go past. Let me ask you a question. Has the Holy Spirit ever impressed you to do an act of kindness to someone? Maybe make a phone call and encourage them. Maybe to write a note. Maybe to send a gift. Maybe to send a book. Maybe just to do some little thing for somebody that you really knew would mean something to them. And you said, "I'm going to do it." But you delayed, and the time passed, and you got too busy, and after a while, it was just too late. You would have been embarrassed to do it. Has that ever happened to you, so you just didn't do it? That's happened to all of us. And what happens is we have an opportunity to do good, and then somehow we just simply let it pass by. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan who was there, and he saw that man bruised and bleeding. He was on his journey, and he stopped, and he helped that man right there. He didn't make excuses. He didn't say, "I'm too busy." He didn't say, "I'm on a journey." He didn't say, "It's too dangerous." He didn't say, "It's none of my business." But right there at that moment, he stopped and did what he could do. There was a golden moment, and he took it. May I tell you that all around us are people who are bruised and bleeding. Some are bleeding financially. Some are bleeding emotionally. Some are bleeding spiritually. And they need you to say, "This is an opportunity, and I'm going to take it right now." If you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember this. The chief enemy to kindness is busyness. Busyness. We're so busy. We have our priorities, our jobs, our duties, our responsibilities, and we're too busy. But if we're too busy to be kind, we're too busy. And the Bible says, "As we have opportunity, let us do good." There was a French-born Quaker. His name was Stephen Grellet. And he would be unknown. Nobody would even remember this man, except for one paragraph that he wrote. You've heard it before, but I want you to listen to what he said. He said, "I shall pass through this world but once. Any good I can do or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now and not defer it, for I shall not pass this way again." You can't do a kindness too soon because you never know how soon it may be too late. As you have opportunity, let's do good. I've talked to you about the what of kindness. I've talked to you about the why of kindness. I've talked to you about the when of kindness. Let me talk to you about the where of kindness. Where should you be kind? Be kind in times of conflict, in times of arguments, in times of quarrels. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, but the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, kind to all men. Are you a servant of the Lord? Then you can't be quarrelsome. You've got to be kind in times of conflict. We all have times of conflict, but you need to be very, very careful when you get in an argument with any human being. It doesn't matter whether that human being is saved or that human being is lost. Let's just take an individual out here, and there's somebody that you have a conflict with. Well, first of all, you have to ask yourself, is this man a brother? Well, if he's a brother, then he's a part of your body. You and he are members of the same body, and Jesus Christ is the head. And if he is a brother, if you harm him, you harm yourself. Well, suppose he is not a brother. Suppose he is an unsaved person. Well, then if you're unkind to an unsaved person, you're driving him further away from Jesus. If he's unsaved, how do you expect him to understand spiritual things? He's more an object of your pity rather than he is of your wrath. And whether he is saved or lost, your desire is not to drive him away, but I would hope to win back your brother or to win this man to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have found it in my own life. There have been people who have opposed me, and I've tried to be kind to them. And God has blessed, not every time, but many times. I had been a pastor just a few months. I got a letter from one of the members of this church. Frankly, it was quite an excoriating letter. He didn't like my mannerisms. He didn't like the way I preached. He didn't like the way I gave an invitation. And he told me so in no uncertain terms. And very frankly, I want to tell you, I felt the letter was unfair. But I said, dear Lord, help me to write back the kindest letter I can write. I wrote that man back a letter, and not with a piosity, but genuine kindness. He's in heaven today, but before he died, he came past the office and said to me, you are the dearest friend I have. You are the dearest friend I have. I thank God that kindness can do what perhaps nothing else can do. Maybe he's my brother. Then I need to treat him as Jesus would treat him. Maybe he's my enemy. Then I need to make him the object of my pity. And whether he is a brother or whether he is an enemy, I have to remember this. When I'm in a quarrelsome attitude with anybody, I have to remember that the heathen are standing all around. They don't know who's who or what's what, but they know how they see us react. One woman came to her pastor and said, I have become a Christian because of you. Well, pastors want to know whether their preaching is effective or not. And he said, madam, what sermon was it? What touched your heart? What was it that I preached that brought you to Jesus? She said, it was nothing that you preached. But she said, I was watching when a woman criticized you to your face. And your kindness to that woman convicted my heart. I knew what you had was real, and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. In times of conflict, we need to be kind. Just in our conversation, we need to be kind. Did you know that your words can bless or burn, that your words can hurt or heal, that the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue? Proverbs 15, verse 4, gentle words cause life and health. Kind words. Everybody needs a little kindness. I heard of a man went into a little roadside diner and for breakfast, and a waitress came out, her hands on her hips. She said, what do you want? Well, he said, I'd like some eggs and a few kind words. She didn't say anything, just went around back to the kitchen. After a while, she came out with a plate, some greasy eggs, and slapped them down in front of him. He said, where are my kind words? She said, don't eat them eggs. Friend, everybody needs some kind words. You'd be surprised how you can just bless somebody just with a word of kindness. Not only in times of conflict and times of conversation, but oh, in times when people are hurting, in times when you need compassion. So many times we don't know what to do. We have people who are hurting all around us. We need to learn how to be sensitive. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Don't be so concerned about yourself that you can't see. The key word there is look. Look not every man on his own things. Be sensitive. Open your eyes. I'm telling you, all around you, people are hurting. You just think in your neighborhood, in your acquaintances, probably there's somebody who's moving in, doesn't have any friends, or somebody who's moving out, leaving their friends. Probably there's somebody who's going through a divorce or has a broken home. Probably there's somebody who is facing a business failure or financial loss. Perhaps there's somebody lost a friend, a child by death, somebody who is sick, somebody who is lonely. You say, Pastor, I'm not good at helping people when they're suffering. I just don't know what to say. I can appreciate that. Sometimes, friend, it's not what you say. It's just that little act of kindness that means so much. Joyce and I have a little baby in heaven. His name is Philip. And he died on a Sunday afternoon on Mother's Day, one of those unexpected crib deaths. Members of our little church came by to see us, to comfort us. One by one, the members of the church would come in. So many of them fumbled. They didn't know what to say. They were so grieved. But I never will forget one man that was kind of gruff in the way he spoke. He didn't know how to express himself very well. He was a deacon in our church. He loved me. I knew that. But he didn't know what to say. But I never will forget when Richard Hayes just laid his hand on the shoulder right up there and squeezed it. Looked into my face. A tear popped out in his eyes. He just looked at me and turned his face away and went out. That touch, that squeeze, that look meant more than a sermon would have meant to me. It was just a gentle touch. Just an act of kindness. Oh, how we need to learn to be kind. I'm talking to us about the where of kindness. There are opportunities all around if we'll just look. You know where we need to be kind the most? In our homes. In our homes. Now, don't we? Why is it that we sometimes are the most unkind to those we love the best, with the most cutting remarks are sometimes in the home? Friend, may I tell you that the religion that doesn't begin at home doesn't begin. And the religion that is not kind is not the Christian kind of religion. There are many marriages that could be saved by a little gentleness. Do you know what Emerson said that courtesy is? He said courtesy is made up of little sacrifices. Now, you men are to be the head of your home. But do you know what one of the marks of leadership is? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says that the servant of the Lord must not strive but be gentle. Gentleness is a mark of leadership. Gentleness is a mark of leadership. God said in Psalm 18, verse 35, or the psalmist said to the Lord, Thy gentleness hath made me great. What a great text. Thy gentleness, O God, hath made me great. Do you want your children to be great? Be gentle to your children. You know, your words can so encourage them. Or do you nag or do you brag? Do you encourage or do you belittle? Friend, to belittle is to be little. Your children need gentleness. They will grow, they will blossom with a father, a mother who is gentle. The Bible says of a gracious woman, a wife, the law of kindness is in her mouth. Your children need this kindness perhaps more than anything else. We need to be kind to our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I received a letter a while back. A man wrote me a letter. He said, I had in my heart and have even right now in my life excruciating pain and heartache. And he told me a terrible tale, a sorry thing that had happened in his life. But he said, I heard about Bellevue Church. I went to a Sunday school class and I listened. He said, it was a great lesson. He said, I came into the worship service. The music momentarily buoyed me up. Your message was a help to me. But he said, the burden was so heavy. He said, I was leaving the parking lot at Bellevue Baptist Church with a heavy heart. He said, there was a woman there waiting also to get out of the parking lot. Somehow, my eye caught hers. She looked at me, and she smiled and waved her hand at me. Just a smile and a wave. He said, I went home that night. I couldn't sleep. He said, the devil began to tell me life is not worth living. The devil began to tell me, why don't you take the easy way out? He said, I knew would have been the selfish way, but the devil called it the easy way. And he said, my mind went to that shotgun in the closet. And I began to get up and think about moving toward that shotgun in that closet. And he said, you know what God did? He said, God brought an image to my face. It was the image of a woman on the parking lot at Bellevue Baptist Church. And I saw a smile and a hand in the air. Just a smile and just a wave. And he said, Mr. Rogers, that smile saved my life. That smile saved my life. That woman probably doesn't remember that. Just an act of kindness. Just a small thing. Just the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people around us who need somebody to love them, somebody to care in this world. We need to show kindness at home. We need to show kindness on the job. We need to show kindness in church. Let me conclude this message by talking to you very briefly about the way of kindness. The way of kindness. I've talked to you about the where and the when and the why and the what, but the way. How can we be kind? Well, our Bible text says, the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Do you know what kindness is? It's the life of Jesus. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus, He went about doing good. You see, dear friend, I don't have it in me to be kind, not the Bible kind of kindness. I don't have what it takes, and neither do you. Years ago, when I was a high school student, I read a book. It was called In His Steps. Many of you have read that book, a little devotional book, about some people in a community. It's a fictitious story, but a novel that tells about these people who, when faced with various circumstances, decided they would first ask this question, what would Jesus do if He were here? And then they said, we will do what Jesus would do if He were here. And then it tells all of the wonderful things that happened. It was a good book and it blessed my life. But really, if you think about it and analyze it, there are three flaws in that book and in that whole premise. Number one is this, that we would know what Jesus would do if He were here. There can't anybody be Jesus but Jesus, and sometimes He'll surprise you. Number two, the second flaw is this. If we knew what Jesus would do, we wouldn't have the strength to do it anyway. There can't anybody be Jesus like Jesus. My dear friend, there's only one person who's ever lived the Christian life, and you know who it is? His name is Jesus. And if it's lived where you are, it'll be Jesus Christ still living it in you and through you. You understand that? Now, the third thing is this. They ask the question, what would Jesus do if He were here? Oh, friend, Jesus is here. He is here. He lives in us. We are His body. And what we need to do is to say, Lord Jesus, You are here, and I abide in You just like a branch abides in a vine, and I draw from You, Lord Jesus, kindness, and the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. It is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in me. But now wait a moment. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, as elect of God, we are to put on kindness because Jesus Christ is there in you to live His life through you. Be ye kind, for the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Let's pray. Father God, help us as You inhabit our humanity to display Your deity. And Lord, we know that You are love and love is kind. In Your name we pray. Amen.
We trust that God has blessed you as you've listened to this message. If you'd like to know more about how to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then please go to our website at www.lwf.org and click on the Discover Jesus link for more information. If you would like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.